Okay. So this morning, in my non-extended lessons from the lathe, we have a halachic section we do on Wednesdays. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, somebody send the link around. It's kedai if you have 3 minutes every morning. And we spoke about a very interesting, more hashkafic inyan that's halacha. And that is something obvious that you probably never thought of in your life. And that is, you know, we know the brachas on Hanukkah candles, but obviously, very notably, there are two brachas on Hanukkah candles, right? We know, which normally we don't always have that bracha, right? Normally we have one bracha, right? You make the bracha, l'haniach tefillin, right? The only reason why we have a second bracha by tefillin, I don't know why I chose that example, right, is because of a machlokas. Sfardim, as we know, are any Sfaris here? Sfardim is a machlokas, a machlokas. You have a Sfardi, so you only make one bracha on tefillin, if I'm not mistaken, correct? Right, what?
Unless they speak or
something. Right, correct. Very good. Excellent. Yeah, unless you speak. So that we make two brachas, shiloh, whether it's two mitzvahs, but as you all know, as opposed to any other mitzvah, we never ever do this. What do we do right after we make al mitzvah tefillin on our rosh? We say, baruch shem kevod malchus olei lam vet. Very strange. Because there's a shiloh whether or not that's a bracha or not. And by lulav, and any other mitzvah you're going to think of, right, you have generally one bracha. Except for the few mitzvahs, and there are not many, that involved pursuing Nisa, right? So we know that when we lay in Megillah, we say, Sha'asa Nisa Mavaseinu by Yemim Ahim Bazman Azeh. No, we don't. What do we say? Yeah, try, right? Al Mikra Megillah, and we make the second bracha. Why? But Shechianu is the third. Yeah, so Shechianu I'm not relating to. It's a third bracha, you're correct. Shechianu is on the Zman, really. On the Zman. In fact, the halacha is, if you were so excited to light Hanukkah candles, you know, you're all upstairs, and unfortunately, with a place that you light, because I would love 1 year for the yeshiva to like really. I think everybody should have boxes. Everybody should light outside. You guys come from Chutz La'aretz and you're not able to light outside, or at least according to what I think, you should light outside in America. Even there's people started to do that because they live in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn's like Eretz Yisrael, Chas V'Shalom, right? Right, right. So the people started lighting. Teaneck, there are people who do that. Right, right, right. So it is a machlokes. It's interesting. There is a very notable question, too. We know, the Gemara already tells us, that the ikar, of course, of lighting, as we know, is outside, Pesach Meso, but outside. Why? Because the mitzvah, the ikar mitzvah, which we'll see in a moment, of Hanukkah candles is pursuing Nisa. It's publicizing the miracle. I have to discuss what the miracle is. But you want to publicize the miracle. So if you're publicizing the miracle, it has to be done through publicizing it, not simply closing all your windows and lighting candles and nobody sees it. So it's true, as Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says, and then this is the mashmos, I think, of what the halacha is that we generally light close to our window. However, everybody agrees that when we light in the window, it actually should be backwards, right? Because the ikar pesumin, what I mean backwards, right? We know that we light the candles from left to right, right? So on the right side is the candle. So Moshe Feinstein says, the ikar pesumin is inside. Unless, of course, you have a house, which many people have, where you can do it the right way, you can light the right way. But, meaning, let's say you light over here and people can still see, so you can do it both ways sometimes. But in my house, right, we I don't know why, we have different minhagim. So I light my Chanukiah, I light my menorah outside. I think my son started last year lighting outside as well. I tell my kids, you can decide. Because the Hasidish minhag, not that I'm so Hasidish, but a little bit, the Hasidish minhag is to light inside. Why? They don't understand what happened all of a sudden in Eretz Yisrael. What is the reason why we don't light outside? Does anybody know? Why don't we light outside? The Ikar mitzvah is to light outside. Why don't we light outside anymore?
So you don't burn down your house.
Outside.
What's the danger? Safety.
What's the danger? Good.
Before, like, if you light outside, people know you're Jewish and there's a risk that they'll come in on.
Exactly. So because of Shmad, because of the fact that the Goyim, especially the fact that the Goyim specifically picked, right? We know that really, historically, Jesus was not born on December 25th. I mean, I don't know this, but it's something I heard. I believe that is historically not a fact. Why is it then? Because of Hanukkah, right? We have this great holiday of lights, and they don't have anything, right? Just like they invented Santa Claus, and then obviously that's, you know, Coca-Cola and the things, and then they put lights. And, come on, to be a little bit smart and understand what's going on over here. So it was around the same time, and the Gentiles get very upset, you know, during their holidays and their priests speak, and so this is why the pogroms traditionally were right after Pesach, Because Pesach, you had the priests who got up, and the priests would talk about how the Jews are celebrating their holiday, and the way that they make matzahs is using the blood of young children, Christian children. And therefore, we have to have pogroms. And that's why, one of the reasons why, by the way, Sfiras Omer is a little bit sad, not only because the students of Rabbi Akiva died, there were pogroms during that time. That's why we dafka say Avarachamim during Sfiras Omer as well, because Avarachamim was invented because of the pogroms. So back to our story. So because of Shmad, we don't light outside. We shouldn't light outside. So it seems like, for some reason, it skipped Eretz Yisrael. Now, you can't tell me it skipped Eretz Yisrael because there never was any Shmad in Eretz Yisrael. The guy never, they always liked the Eretz Yisrael. No, Nebuch, lo aleinu, I don't have to tell you. And I should start with dedicating this shir for Hashem Yimkom Damoy, Eliyahu K, Eli K, who was murdered al Kiddush Hashem, literally for one reason, because he was a Jew. He was a Jew, you know, in 2021, right by the Kotel, and was killed. Right? I don't know if you saw the video of the Kotel cam, which a lot of people watch. I remember when I used to live in America, I loved the Kotel cam. So if you were watching it, I don't know who would be up at this time, but 9 o'clock in the morning, the Kotel cam has sound. So you can hear different sounds. You hear the gunshots. You hear it.
The Kotel camera?
Yeah. There's a camera that's on the Kotel. Kotelcam.com. So I don't make any money off this. I don't make any money. So we know the Shmat. We know the Shmat. So what happened? So there's no real good answer historically why that is. You know, there were certain things that came to Eretz Yisrael. So for example, we do Birchas Kohanim, one of the greatest things, one of the things I miss the most when unfortunately I travel to America too often, is that I really miss Birchas Kohanim. And I actually, this week, I'm trying to help out. There's a Shiva Minyan. So it's a little bit hard for me because I like to, you know, I got to get all the Birchas Kohanim I can get. So in a house of mourning, we do not do Birchas Kohanim. So why is it that we do Birchas Kohanim? So a lot of people like to say the reason is obvious, right? Sfaradim always do Birchas Kohanim, no matter where they are, right? So the Ashkenazim didn't accept this. A famous story is about other people that wanted to institute, the Vilna Gaon and others wanted to institute, reinstitute Birchas Kohanim. So there's no real good reason. Some people say, oh, it's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That's not true. I'm sorry, it's just not historically true. Maybe there is the Indian of, you have to do it b'simcha, and in Eretz Yisrael, we're all nervous about the Goyim and what they're going to do to us, and there's no simcha, and there's true simcha in Eretz Yisrael. Some people say, because of the Tirda, in Eretz Yisrael, we do Birchas Kohanim only on Yontif. So, if you're only doing it on Yontif, what's the why? Because we have such simcha on Yontif. There's no tear. We don't think about the week. We don't think about anything, right? So some people say, yeah, in Eretz Yisrael, it's the same thing. Nobody thinks about anything. They don't think about work. They don't think about the guy. It's just laissez-faire. They don't care. You know, if you go out now to the mall and go eat lunch, and you'll see there's like 100 people eating out lunch. And how come nobody works? Nobody works ever. So maybe. So here, it's very interesting that the Ikur lighting is outside. That's true. There is a Brichas Haroah. So what is the Brichas Haroah? What is it going on? So it's going on the nace of seeing the candles. Therefore, there was a very interesting brisker minhag. The brisker minhag is not just the brisker minhag. You should understand something very important. Those that follow, you know, what Rav Soloveitchik had many different minhagim. He never invented any of these minhagim himself. These were based on a tradition that he had. I listened to an amazing shir. I don't know where it, I mean, I know what website it was on, but I don't know where it was from, but it was remarkable. It was... if I'm not mistaken, I think I looked it up. I may be wrong about this, but I think in the 1957, maybe I'm wrong about this. But anyway, it was basically a Fabregan. They're back, baby. That Rav Soloveitchik, listen to this, that Rav Soloveitchik gave on Yud Tes Kislev. Not a Fabregan, but he gave a speech about Chabad. Now, you have to understand something. He says this, Rav Soloveitchik says this. I am the farthest away from Chabad you can get. My tradition, my great-great-grandfather, right? You have Rav Chaim, was his grandfather, and the Beis Halevi, and goes to Rav Chaim Volozhin, which goes to the Gra. The Gra was the number one proponent against Hasidus, against the Baal Shem Tov. And he tells a story of how the Baal HaTanya came and tried to visit, because he was upset that the Gra was so against him. And he came with Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibar Dutch. It was a crazy story. And he wouldn't see him. And then he peeked out of the window and saw his countenance. He saw what he looked like. And he was a very good-looking person. He said, this guy is going to convince me, you know, that Hasidus is right. Eh? It's a tremendous story. So Rav Soloveitchik, being the farthest from, you know, Hasidus, speaks about a very interesting Brisker Minhag. The Brisker Minhag is based on Maseches Smachos, which is quoted by the Maharam, where the Maharam says, wait a minute, this is very interesting. What's the reason why, I'm going to ask you a very simple question, if you don't get the answer, you will have to go down to Shana Hoshir, and that is, why is it that we make, why don't we light the candles first, and then say, Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah? Why do we make brachas first and then do the action?
Because you're supposed to see the action. For example,
when... Does anybody know what's that called in Hebrew? No, what does it mean? You're right. He said it correctly. Right?
No, it's like, why do you... Why
you can't do the action first.
And then say the bracha.
Right. The whole bracha is... the bracha is the... I don't know if you know, in Hasidus, they have the hidden nimuchans all the time. Right? So before, we all... I don't know why. We're all Hasidish when it comes to... When? Sfiras Omer. I don't know, all of a sudden, Sfiras Omer is the only thing ever, there's some shul, I don't know if you have that shul, if you've ever been in that shul, oh, I don't like that shul, right, where the rabbi gets up right before, why is that? So, quite famously, there were rabbis very much against this, and said, what's going on over here? If I'm not mistaken, the Novi Yehuda, for example, said, you know what the Hinni Muchan is? It's called a bracha. The reason why we make a bracha is we are verbalizing that I'm not stopping just lighting. I'm doing this lemitzah lahad the kaner shel chanukah lahad the kaner shel shabbos.
Designated.
It's called oivr lasiyasa. There's a mitzvah that I have to do the mitzvah second, bracha first. Makes a lot of sense. Now, this is for brownie points. You could have another piece of cake if you want. That is 100% correct. Except for, I don't know, I'm going to call it three mitzvos where we do the action and then make the bracha. We do the action and then make the bracha. Exalamte, washing hands. I was going to give a clue, but you were too smart. Washing hands. So we know that we wash our hands first, and then as we're drying them, we say, Al Matilas Yadayim. Do you know why? Do you ever think about that? What? Excellent. But doesn't make any sense what you're saying. But excellent, yes, that's correct. The answer is correct, but doesn't make any sense. But okay, what do I mean? Your hands have to be pure. So now let me ask you a question. Before you wash, right before you wash, right? You make Kiddush, right? You make Kiddush. So you didn't wash your hands before that. But for bread, it has to be Kaddush. I'm not in the Beis HaMikdash anymore. But you're correct what you're saying. Because that actually comes from another Torah thing, which you wouldn't know so much about, that you make the bracha after the action. Because it doesn't involve you, it involves women.
Mikvah.
When a woman goes to the mikvah, she actually dips first, and then makes the bracha, and then she dips again, just to, you know, to be over lasiyosin a little bit. Very interesting. Why? So there, the idea is, and obviously this, then back it up one more, if you don't mind, there's another case by mikvah, which you have no choice, and he has to make the bracha afterwards. When? No? You have to, this person has to go in the mikvah first and then make the bracha. What? No? He can't make the bracha first. Technically, it's impossible for him. A convert, right. So the convert is all done, shkoyach, and he can't do oivr lasiyosin. You know why? He's not Jewish until he goes to the mikvah. So this all comes from the convert idea. But then by mikvah, by netilas yadayim, you know what we say? We say, well, wait a minute. There's something else going on over here. You know what else is going on over here? Tahara. You're right. I don't wash my hands every time before I make a bracha. True. But here the woman is about to be in a state of purity that is on a higher level. So wait to make the bracha just a little bit. Makes sense. And obviously the whole reason why we teal is a daim is srach turma, even though we don't hold from it. So it's better to make the bracha then. All right and all correct. Now we have three. The fourth one, I said three, but now I have the fourth, is the big one, the big question one. I could only give you a clue. The clue is that it's not a mitzvah that you generally do. It's a woman's mitzvah. And this woman does the mitzvah first and... She does the mitzvah first and then makes the bracha. A woman's mitzvah. I gave you the biggest clue I can give you. Shana Aleph clear is because it's coming soon.
There's a mitzvah first. Yeah, like you just said before, the mikvah. That's,
right.
That's a woman.
No.
It's not challah, is it?
It's not challah. Good. What's another mitzvah that a woman has? What else does she do? Of what?
Shabbos.
Yes. Do you, come on, you never saw your mom do the famous... Right.
Not.
Yeah. Yeah, the famous magic trick. Right? Abracadabra, alakazoom. there's no candles over here, right? Why does she do that? So a friend of mine was actually at the house once of Rav Reuven Feinstein. I don't remember now that I think about it. Was he at Rav David's house or Rav Reuven? Shoot, I don't remember. And in any case, the guy at the table, they were asking questions. The guy asked a question. How come my mom does, you know, abracadabra? Why does she do this? And he says, I don't know anybody that does that. That's not the halacha. It's not a minhag even. That's crazy. And his wife at the table is like, hi, I've been doing that for 37 years. Like, what are you talking about? Really? So part of the reason is, okay, you're makabel and the kabel, but also the closing of the eyes is ki'ilu and overlas yasin. Because we have a problem, us Ashkenazi. Because the Bahag says the following thing. When I say the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shekhar Hashem, Bezvanu, Lahadlik Ner Shel Shabbos, that is tantamount to accepting Shabbos. And therefore, I've now accepted Shabbos. Sorry, I can't light the candles now. So it's a technicality. The Sfarim do not understand this at all. Well, so the Sfarim say, what does lighting candles have to do with... Yeah, I know I said the word Shabbos, Shashkoyach. But that's one thing that has nothing to do with the other. That's not fair, especially if I live in Yerushalayim. I live in Yerushalayim and I light candles 40 minutes before Shkia. That's not fair. I don't want to accept Shabbos now. What about the following case? You have a very lazy husband, and he says to his wife, can you drive me to shul? He's not so lazy. It's raining outside. So she says, I can't drive you to shul and make it back in time for candlelight. So what does she do, right? She lights the candles al tanai. She says, on condition that I'm doing a little malacha now, and when I get back, I'll be able to kabbal shalos. That's actually mutter to do. A person can do this every single week. You're allowed to do that. It's interesting, because then the question becomes, maybe in that case, we have a halacha called lo plug. We don't say that, really, that time, you know what she should do? Because she's not accepting Shabbos. She should say the bracha and light the candles after, but we don't do that. Maybe by yontif, it's also she's
going to get busy with something else, maybe, and forget the time.
Correct. So that's a serious problem, right? This is a serious shailin halacha. It's one of the few halachas that there's a very strange halacha that says that if you miss candle lighting, you get a knas.
You have to add
a candle for the rest of your life, right? Can you imagine this? Imagine you have to wear an extra box of tefillin every time you miss tefillin. You guys would have like 80 pairs of tefillin wearing every day, right? Right? You have to have an extra pair of tzitzis. You'd be like Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, right? Every time you miss tzitzis, you have to... doesn't make any sense. It's interesting, the knas. So, the question is, do the knas really apply in the following case? I was with a great, great, great Pesach, or Neuberger, and I happened to be there for a shiloh that somebody asked him. It was my chavrusa. He said the following thing happened. His wife went to light candles, okay? And she literally gets everything ready. She's about to light, and the baby starts hysterically crying. She runs to the baby. Turns out the baby needs a diaper change. So, no, nebach lo aleinu, it wasn't stam a diaper change. Right? The baby needed a diaper change, and needed a bath. Da-da-da-da. Done? She looks at her watch. She missed it. So after Shkia. Oh, Yvei Kanas, you have to light an extra candle. So Rabbi Neuberg was machadish that maybe in that case he thought
it wasn't an air control.
That right, but we also, what do we call it? We call it Oisik b'mitzvah, Patur min ha-mitzvah. She was Oisik in the mitzvah of taking care of her children. So it's a chiyuv, she has to take care of her children. So therefore, he thought that maybe there wouldn't be that Kanas. Now I'll tell you something really, really interesting. Really interesting. I like where this is going because this is nothing about my sheet. But that's what happens with me. I have all the ADD stuff. It goes everywhere. And then we're going to get back to Hanukkah. Show of hands. How many moms, your mom, lights candles in accordance with the amount of children she has? They're different minhagim, right? Right. My mom lights two candles. That's it. There's a minhag out there which became very popular, especially by like America, right? And that we add a candle for every child. The question is, what is that based on?
Some Hasidim have like 15 candles.
Right. They have a lot of kids. So is it because they want the husband to, you know, spend a lot of money on a candelabra? I don't know. In different worlds, different people buy the candle. So when I was getting married, my mother was going to buy my wife the candles. And so she asked me, you know, how many candles? I assumed she's only going to light two. So I asked my wife, no. What are you doing? She said, I never thought about it. My mother likes two. And my mother likes two. But there's a prevalent minhag to light per child, and therefore I don't want just two candlesticks, maybe. So I had just happened to see a tshuva in a Tzitz Eliezer that asked this, what?
Did she not have any kids?
She did not, because when before we got married, we did not have any kids, as opposed to many people. But we were machmir. So, right, you could bought two. You're right. So I have a friend who actually, you're correct. My friend buys some people like the candelabra, you know? Right. He buys her. He bought her every time there's a child. So he buys her a beautiful candlestick. Correct. So you're saying it wasn't really a shiloh. You're correct. So I said, I just saw us chuvin the Tzitz Eliezer of Eliezer Wallenberg. This was the shiloh. This is not a good marriage. It's not going to start off good. They get engaged, and she's insistent. She says, your mother, the minhag is, your mother's going to buy me candlesticks. I want per child, and I already know I want eight. So I already went, my mother's like, yeah, crazy? Eight?
It's like the COVID
vaccine. Right. Eight? Yeah, I want eight. So, Tzitz Eliezer says that's not a reasonable request. Why? Her family minhag is two. My family minhag is two. You want to make up new minhagim? Buy the minhag yourself. Okay. So I told my wife that, and she's like, okay, sorry. You know, I don't know. I think maybe she's always regretted that. It's a beautiful minhag. The question is, what's it based on? So we have different Sifrei Halacha, Sifrei Minhagim, bring a lot of different things. Within the Shulchan Aruch itself, by the way, this Halacha is brought. Two is most popular. Two for Shomer V'Zachar. So then there are people who say maybe four. Maybe we should do 10 for the Aseret HaDibros. It's out there. There's all this stuff out there. 39 for the 39 Malachas. You know?
613.
Right? 613. It's going to take a while. Woo! You know, every week. Why is the fire alarm? I don't understand. Fine. So I saw in one of the Shailos HaTshuvos, I apologize that I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was Rav Menashe Klein. I'm pretty sure I saw it in Rav Menashe Klein. So he says the following thing. In his Mishnah Halachas, he's a very interesting individual. Rav Menashe Klein was a survivor of the Holocaust. When he was a kid, he was actually chavrusas with Elie Wiesel. He remained very, very close. He lived in Brooklyn. And Rav Menashe Klein, Udvar Rav, actually signed all of his shuvers, Menashe HaKatan. That's what he called himself. Right? That's like Rav Nevenzal writes, very cute, Rav Victor Nevenzal has Si'irim Shalavim, like the young, I'm a young lady. So he writes that he thinks it's the following thing. Listen to this. When a woman had a baby, generally, Baruch Hashem, now it's the opposite, right? When you have a baby and you go to a hospital, they want to kick you out as soon as possible. Especially during COVID, they actually changed the rules. I think here in Eretz Yisrael, I'm not sure what they did in America, where they only wanted you in the hospital for 24 hours, which I understood. They wanted you to get out of the hospital, right? We know, unfortunately, hospital is one of the worst places you can be medically. I know that sounds crazy, but it's true. You can get more sick. My son, unfortunately, when he was a few months old, contracted a very, very, very serious and potentially, Baruch Hashem, not, but potentially fatal disease, which nobody ever heard of, called SSSS, skin to scalda syndrome. And he needed to be treated with very, very heavy antibiotics, and B'chasti Hashem, Baruch Hashem, he was cured. So when we called our doctor, Dr. Rosen, who is quite the Haredi person, and we told him we had a little bit of a problem. We were trying to get out of the hospital on Friday. It happened to be that when he was sick, my son, it was during Yom HaAtzmaut. Yom HaAtzmaut was on a Thursday, so that meant it was like a holiday weekend. And the hospital only had Arab doctors. And basically it was like a holding pattern. Basically the Jewish doctors said to the Arab doctors, try not to kill anybody, okay? Unless you're Hamas. Try not to kill anybody. And so the doctor didn't want to discharge us because he was the Arab doctor. So we were trying to negotiate with him because Baruch Hashem, he was fine. So they said, maybe tomorrow morning, Shabbos. So I called my doctor and I said, I'm not going to leave on Shabbos. And he said to me, I couldn't believe it. He said, call an Arab cab, leave on Shabbos. I said, what? He says, your son is obviously now going to be immune deficient because of all the antibiotics and the disease he had. He needs to leave that hospital as soon as possible. First of all, the ward we were on, Nebuch, was the most serious. I remember this terrible thing. I'll just tell you quickly. I'm sorry, but let me tell you quickly because it's a beautiful story. I love to tell the story over. We know that, you know, when a person brought a korban, korban toda, they had to bring it. You had to eat a lot of bread. and the korban itself. So he had to invite a lot of people. And the reason was is that you give hodah, which is what we're talking about by Chanukah, when you're mefarsei manes, right? We say birchas agomel. I say it more often probably than anybody else. You know, so I say birchas agomel, which I still believe you say. I have a friend who's like, you travel all the time. What are you saying birchas agomel? Because every flight is a miracle. So when you say, so you know that it's a miracle because it's the only thing that we still have covered for the, you know, they land and people still clap. Like, right? My kids don't clap after, you know, after we make it to Tel Aviv from, you know, driving. Like, wow, Dad, I can't believe you didn't get an accident this time. That's the first time, you know, like, anyway. So, birchas agomel is mefarsim. Thank you, God Hashem. So you're mefarsim. So I want to be mefarsim. So my son got this disease. We didn't know that he had it. Unfortunately, he was misdiagnosed. I have an amazing wife who is medically inclined, and she knew there was something wrong with the kid, which, by the way, usually a mom only knows. And, this is actually Rav Paltiel is involved in the story, so he'll like it. And he started to get sick. So my wife thought that it was just as we started giving him food. So a lot of times babies get, allergies, and his face was becoming like all blotchy, you know, with spots all over his face. So the doctor's like, that's possible. Why don't you try Benadryl? And I remember it was Friday night, and it was terrible. He did not stop crying, this baby. Did not stop crying. Nebuchadnezzar, my wife. I tried to help out, but she's obviously the one. So Saturday night, we went to Terem. And unfortunately, the doctor in Terem very much misdiagnosed my son. He said he had strep throat, which is very uncommon for a little baby to have. And
but
he gave him
very common for Terem to do.
Right, exactly. And he gave him antibiotics, and we thought everything would be great. We waited that 24 hours. It was Sunday, and nothing. Still didn't get better. So Sunday morning, my wife's like, you know what? I'm going to go to the doctor. So at this point, she goes to the doctor. I was teaching Rav Paltiel this year. I was sitting. I remember. I was standing, like, leaning on a table. And I get a phone call from a number I don't know. And you know my minhag. I normally don't pick up the phone. I try not to, unless I see it's somebody I know and maybe an emergency. So I don't know why I picked up the phone. And it's my wife's friend. And she says, Daniel, you need to get here right now. I go, where are you? She's like, I'm at the dermatologist. I'm like, what the heck is going on? She's like, I'm telling you, you need to get here right now. So I have no idea what's going on. I know my son is sick. And I went to find Rav Paltiel. I'm like, I got to get out of here. Whatever. So, I run home and realize we only have one car. What am I going to do? It was Rav Paltiel Shir. So I remember calling Rav Paltiel to come in, and he's like, and it's a bad situation for anybody. When, like, I got to get out of here, I have an emergency. I'm like, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. So as I'm walking home, my wife calls, and she's crying, and then it says, what happened? So she said, I went to the doctor, and he saw all the blotches, and our family doctor, and he said, listen very carefully. All I can tell you is I know this is something very serious. This is not Benadryl. It's not going to solve this. Do me a favor. There's a very, very great, I think if I'm not mistaken, it was Eve Finkelstein, Dr. Eve Finkelstein. She's on today. Go to her. She's an expert. She probably knows what it is. Now, anybody who knows Israel, but specifically Dr. Eve Finkelstein, you can't get anywhere without an appointment. You don't have an appointment, but this was an emergency. She walks in and she goes to the thing and they see, she's a little baby. She says, this is an emergency. I need to see them. Like, okay. She walks in and all the people that were online, you know, the way it works in Israel is that at 9 o'clock, 12 people have an appointment, right? And at 9:07, 12 people, right? So now it's like whatever time it was, 10:30, and there's 38 people waiting online. And most of the people were like, just go. A little baby, just go. Of course, some people were like, no, maze, ma. You know, like, I bet you it's not even a real baby, you know? So she opens the door and she says, hi, who's next? And my wife says, I'm sorry, but I have an emergency. And this Nebuchadnezzar, and I mean this, it's hard for doctors because they get paid like 5 shekel a patient, you know. And she's like, I don't care. I can't. I'm sorry. I can't do this. I can't do a favor for every single person. I can't. And my wife, being a woman who, you know, you protect your baby from everything. This is where my wife's friend called. She was not like my wife, and she said, you listen to me right now. You're going to see me, and you're going to see me right now like this. And everybody in the office was like, what? What's going on? And she let her in, and the moment she let her in, she totally changed the doctor, and she's like, okay, you got in. Now what do you need? She opened the, you know, to show the baby, and she's like, oh, God. Okay. She looks at my wife, and she says, listen to me really carefully. You have two options and only two options. you can swear to me right now you're going to get in a car and go to the emergency room, or I'm calling an ambulance right now. There's no two options here. You have two options. So that's when my wife called me, and she's like, we got to go to the hospital. So I don't know what's going on. We go to the hospital. I'm sorry, this is a long story. We go to the hospital, and if you've ever been to an emergency room, not fun. You know, there's gazillion. I remember there was all these people with all these ailments. I remember there was an Arab guy who was a worker who fell off a building, and he's like, his leg was like not really with his body, and like he's waiting, you know, like. And I'm a pushy person, and I said, I can't be here with all these people. Push it. She's okay. So they bring him into the doctors, and the doctors see it, and they're like, we don't know. We don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. We don't know what it is. And so the head doctor comes in of the ER, being a good Israeli doctor, and she says the following. We know that it's one of the three possibilities, right? It's this SSS thing. It's this, but what we've seen, most probably it's called Steve Johnson's disease. I think that's what it was called. And my wife says, well, what is the prognosis for Steve Johnson? He goes, Rak Devar Echad, Tfilah. So meaning what? Meaning your baby's going to die. That's what she says to us, because Israelis, like, supposed to be a doctor in America who lies. Well, you don't know, maybe, yeah. Fine. So this is really bad. And I remember this very, very well. 9:26 p.m. this happened. I pick up the phone, I call Raboaz. Thankfully he answered. I said, Raboaz, I've never asked you to do this. Right after Ma'ariv, I need you to say Tehillim. I said, I don't know what's going on with my son. This is really serious. Here's his name. That was it. I got off the phone. I'm not this guy. I don't tell stories like this normally. This really happened. At 9:47, I'm assuming right as Tehillim is starting in the yeshiva, or ended, a doctor comes into the room that we're in, mistakenly. And she's like, oh, sorry, wrong room. And as she's walking out, the intern that was with us, an intern, says, wait a minute. And she says to her, she was the doctor that was the head of infectious diseases of the hospital. She didn't even look at the baby. She says, wait, you're the head of infectious diseases. Can you look at this baby? And she turns around. I promise you, and this is the first thing she does. Wow. She starts clicking her camera. And we're like, hi. We don't know who she is, right? We're like, hi, who the... I was looking to push her. I'm like, who are you? She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm the head of infectious diseases for the entire hospital. Your son has skin discoid syndrome. Like, how do you know? She goes, what do you mean, how do I know? I'm the head of infectious diseases. This is textbook case. I've never seen this in Israel. Wow, this is amazing. Wait, I'm going to get students. And students come in and they're taking pictures. And I think my kid's dying. She says, you literally caught this. It's not a joke. Within a few hours. Only coming to the hospital with very, very high doses of antibiotics. It's amazing. It was Chasdei Hashem. She came in and she knew exactly what it was. And all the doctors now were confident. And she, Baruch Hashem. So as we're, the whole reason I told the story is as we're coming up, stairs, my wife looks at me and she says, you're good at being a salesman. Tell the nurse we want a private room. We need a private room, yeah? So I start talking to her. I go, no, I can give you some calling cards and what do you need? You know? Can you get me a private room? And she's like, Beseder. And she gives us this corner, beautiful private room in like a separate wing. And I'm like, wow, thank you so much for giving us a private room. You're so nice. And she looks at me with disgust. And she says to me, you're thanking me? There's only 8 people in this entire hospital that have these private rooms. Do you know why they have it? Because they're the most critical patients in the hospital. What are you thanking me for that, you idiot? You know, like, I'm like, oh. So we were with 8 very, it was all kid, the kids' hospital part, and it was scary. So that's why they said you should leave as soon as you can, because the other kids have diseases. So, not sure how we got to this, but we were talking about Shabbos candles. So comes along with Menashe Klein, and he says that when a woman goes to the hospital, inevitably what happens? She has the baby, Baruch Hashem. She's so weak on Erev Shabbos, she can't light Shabbos candles. So every time you had a baby, what would happen? You would miss Shabbos candles, because it used to be, it was very difficult. You had baby, and therefore you had a kenas. So that's why, every time. Now what doesn't make sense about that? What we said before, we have a concept, she's anus. Right? If a bride, so even Osik Ben Mitzvah, but really honest, right? When a person's sick, we don't say to them, oh, you have to wear another pair of tefillin today because you were in the hospital almost dying. You had COVID and you didn't put tefillin on for 16 days, 16 pairs of tefillin. Doesn't make any sense. Okay, but that's a tiny. So over Lassi Yassin, back to our story, over Lassi Yassin is only by those things, but generally we don't do that.
Nobody great.
What? Nobody right, exactly. So comes along. Now we get to the point. Comes along the briskers of Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik explained this in Nefesh HaRav, and he says, my grandfather's minhag was very simple. On the second night, you'll see why in a moment, because there's a technicality with the first night, he would light the first candle, like everyone does. Everybody would say, Amen. He would light the candle, and then Shesa Asan Nisa. What happened to Lola Vasi Asan? He said, according to the Maharam, there's no over Lasi Asan. You know what the mitzvah is? The mitzvah is She'asa Nisim, to get Hana from the candles, get to pursuing Nisim. That's what the bracha's on. Now, I admit to you, this is against seemingly a Mefurish Gemara in Shabbos, talking about Shabbos, talking about Hanukkah candles that tells us to make all three brachas before the mitzvah, seemingly, and the Mishnah Berurah, and the Chayi Adam, right, and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Torah, and the Rush. I get it. But this brisker minhag, which is quoted in different sources, or Sternbach says that this was his minhag because he's a direct descendant of the Gra, so it's probably a minhag of the Gra. And it does make a lot of sense. Right? I started adapting this minhag a good number of years ago. And the reason that I adapted this minhag is because I think it makes a lot of sense. If you're so machmed in an over lasi yasin, this is over lasi yasin. Why? Because there's two mitzvahs over here. There's a mitzvah lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, shkoyach, I have to do that. But there's a separate mitzvah of the hodah on the mitzvah itself. Now, what's interesting is that, please correct me if I'm wrong. I could be wrong what I'm saying now, so correct me. I'm just in my thought process. Maybe I'm not. Do we have any mitzvah where after we're done with the mitzvah, you have a chiyuv to sing a song? Once again, do you have any mitzvah when you're done with the mitzvah, right? What do we say? The halacha says very, very clearly. The Rosh already quotes this. The Masechah Soifrim, Omrim, Haneiros Halalu. Right? We all know. It's like a how can you not sing it? Right? Haneiros Halalu, whatever way you sing it. You have to sing that, right? The Tashmitz. Ze Matzati Masechah Soifrim, Shechov. There's a chiyuv. Lomar Acha Hadlakos Neiros Chanukah, Haneiros Halalu, and Adam Adlikim. What do you mean there's a chov? Where do we have a chiyuv that you have to say a tefillah afterwards? That makes no sense. Right. So we know that that's feiko. Right? Hallel. So Hallel, very good. Hallel is the mitzvah itself. Let's talk about over lasi yasam. The mitzvah is the Hallel itself. You're right, it's a dibur one. But that's a mitzvah of dibur. We don't have a mitzvah where you do the actual mitzvah itself, and then after that mitzvah, right? What? Go ahead. What do you have to say? Shema Brachos.
I'm saying the mitzvah is more like, I mean, I don't know if music, like dancing. Like, is there some sort of mitzvah for like...
Good, there's a mitzvah of Mesameach Chasam
with Talib.
Okay.
No, but
we don't say anything.
No, but yeah. Over there, you're yeah. Wedding, I understand what you could say because you're making the brachas and then you're dancing. But what about the Shema Brachos? You don't make brachas until benching.
Correct.
But you're dancing and you're
celebrating. Correct, but that's not... very good what you're saying. But it's very good. The Shema Brachos... Very good. The Sheva Brachas are a chiyuv of, the question is what exactly, but a hodah on something, right? On this great mitzvah that they got married or that they have a chiyuv of Sheva Brachas. A little bit similar, but I don't think it's the same. This is not a tefillah that we have to say, yeah?
How about when we do a yashir for Kriyas HaTorah? It's literally a song.
Yeah, but again, it's a chiyuv of Kriyas HaTorah. We don't have a mitzvah, even after, I'll give you a hard...
You don't do the normal, like...
Trup, but it's a mitzvah of the Kriyas HaTorah, so I changed the trup over, because I want to show that it's different. Good, but that's... I know that there are Svarim HaKadoshim that have all these tefillos after. That's great. And I know when you say, L'hadlik Ner Shal Shabbos, the woman says, V'zakei ni l'gadil, those are tefillos that were added afterwards. Why does the Sifrei Halacha, the Rabbeinu Yerucham, Yesh Linhok, it's a minhag he writes, right, as opposed to the Tashma says it's a chiyuv. The Maharil. Achar Adlaka Omer Mehaneir Salalu. Right? And it says, this isn't true, but it says it. The Yeshbo Lamed Vet Tevot. It's pretty cool. Right? It has 36 words, which is the amount of Neros Shelchanaka. Perfect. Works out perfectly. Count it, you'll see it's not true. There's different versions, but I try to find the right version. I have not found that yet. So the question is why? Why? Well, first is the when question. When do I say Haneros Halalu? According to the, if you will, the Soloveitchik Minhag, according to this Minhag, you know when you say Haneros Halalu? after you light the first candle. Now, the reason why this doesn't work on the first night is because it would be impossible to do the mitzvah. You wouldn't be able to do both. So you have to make all three brachas before. But on the second night, Haneiros Halalu is done. But what's interesting, I'm just quoting you the Mishnah Berurah. Look what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah says, Taf Reish Ayin Vav, Achar Shehidlik Ner Harishon, Hu HaIkar, Omer Haneiros Halalu. He actually says, and the Minchas Yisrael has a shiloh on this, that the Mishnah Berurah says that you're actually supposed to only light the first candles, and while you're lighting the other ones, you could say it to yourself, say Haneiros Halalu. You're going to say it again with the family, I know. What's the reason we say Haneiros Halalu? So maybe the reason is because we have to make a statement. Again, back in the olden days, they didn't have lights. So everybody lit candles all the time. So you wanted to make a statement to the family. Hey, everyone, pay attention. These neiros, kodesh heim. Ein lanu rishut lishtamish bahem. You guys, you can't use these candles. It's not regular candles. You can't read in front of it. You can't count your money in front of it. Shiloh about, what about a mitzvah, right?
Or the shamash.
Right? That's why we have the shamash, but we try still not to because that's not the ikar light. Good. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, in his Sheol Shachuas Mincha Shloimo, says the following: Dener Chanuka he atzma hoda v'halel kolomar shal yedei ze yitain, that on this yitain benusach haneiros halalu al tshuas ha'melchamos. He says v'lo niskokal pach Hashemet. Right, I think the reason why I'm lighting candles is to remember the pach Hashem. He says no, it's l'hoydus l'halel l'farsei v'zaneis. It's pursuing Yisrael of the milchama, right? The famous question, because when we say al hanisim in davening, right, in benching, we don't talk about the pach Hashem, right? Rav Soloveitchik talks about this as well. We talk about the nitzachon, right? Not the nech of the pach Hashem, which was great, but that was a start to the real winning here. Is that we didn't have to be part of the Goyish nations anymore, right? They were killing us spiritually. That's l'hoidus l'halel. And that would make sense why this haneiros halalu is actually done while we're lighting, because we're being mefarsim in the pesumei nisa. It's part and parcel of the mitzvah itself to remind us what we're doing. I'm not stop lighting candles, right? What's very interesting is the halacha. When we light Shabbos candles, we have to make sure the Shabbos candles really should not be in the same place of the Hanukkah candles. Why? Because the reason of Shabbos candles is totally the opposite of Hanukkah candles. Shabbos candles is supposed to, right, but it's supposed to increase the light in the house, right? Just like if you went on a romantic date, right, and you go to a fancy schmancy restaurant, and even though they have beautiful light, they light a candle, right? That's fancier restaurants. Why do they do that? And the lights are dimmed a little bit. That's considered to be fancier. On Shabbos, that's what we want to say in the Rabbanu Shalom. We light candles even though we don't use candles anymore. Right? But to show. But that's different. Here we're not trying to light up the world. Yes, we are. Lubavitcher Rebbe, Yad Kislev, we should say. That's what Lubavitcher Rebbe is famous for saying. We should light up the world. One little candle can light an entire room. True. That's what our job is, but not to physically light up a room. It's the opposite. It's being a fire scene with the nasis. And therefore, hashkafically, and I'll end with this quick idea, we have to think about the hodos of l'hala. We spoke about there's a chiyuv of halal. You're 100% right. It could be that chiyuv of halal is different than the rest of the year. Right? We know that on Purim we don't say this. We don't say halal. But this halal is very unique. You know why? This halal that we say is our chiyuv halal showing hoda. And maybe even more than Hanukkah candles. Because nowadays that we light inside, except in Eretz Yisrael, there's less pesumei neis. This is the biggest pesumei neis. And that's why probably it's a nice idea that halal should be singing dafka. Right? Many shuls, right? You go there Rosh Chodesh, you don't even know the difference. Right? Halal takes the same amount of time on Monday and Thursday Racha would take. Right? Nobody sings anything. But maybe there's more of a chiyuv. Because this is a holiday that we're giving hodah to the Rebbeinu Shalom. How often do we forget this central idea of life? Thanking Hashem for the littlest things in the world. Right? I jumped the gun a bit. My dryer broke. And there's probably nothing worse in my house than my wife not being able to do a wash. So I called the guy. The guy comes. And I was actually learning with somebody, and he came downstairs and he's like, "Shh, I know you're learning, but look." And he shows me the belt of the dryer is like all shattered. I said, "Baruch Hashem, it's an easy fix." It turned out to be a 500 shekel fix, but still an easy fix. right? He goes, you're very lucky, at least it's not the motor. The motor is crazy, you know? I'm like, great. So the guy says, I was done learning, and he says, I'm almost done. You want to come up? I'm like, great. So I'm texting my wife, Chasdei Hashem. It was only a small little thing, because it's an American washing machine too. So to get parts is like impossible. So Baruch Hashem, it's 500 shekel, you know? So you thank Hashem, you have hodah even for that. But then when I get up, he says to me, so here's the thing, I'm putting it back now, and I see, I think your motor's also going. I'm like, what? Because if I put my hand on the, you know, the dryer that goes around, it stops. It's not allowed to stop. Because if you put a lot of towels in, it's probably not going to... He's like, I think your motor's going. I'm like, no. I just told my wife, Chasdei Hashem, you know? Anyway,
you jinxed it.
Yeah, and she came home, and she put it in the dryer, and she's like, did he test it before? I go, he did. He goes, but not with clothes in. And it, when you put too much clothes in, it doesn't spin. And then when you need a new motor, that's going to cost a lot of money. Chasdei Hashem, it's only that. But that's what we have to have. We have to have duds with the Rosh Hashanah and everything. And that's why brachos are so important. Because we take for granted the fact that I can have zesta saltine crackers from Kellogg's. That's the only thing that's kosher in the United Lounge. Right? Chasdei Hashem. There's something I can eat at least instead of getting so annoyed. I can't eat anything. Nothing's kosher. Right? They do have, by the way, my favorite machine in the world, which is the soda machine where you press the buttons like they have in movie theaters and you can make a mixture. You can have whatever you want. Ah, I go to town on that. Except then once I get on the plane, I'm like, oh, shoot. I got to go to the bathroom and I have the window seat. You know? And then I go to the bathroom and then 3 minutes later I have to go to the bathroom again because I've had like 6 gallons of Coke Zero or whatever. And then the guy's like, do you have it? No, no, my drink of choice is the cherry Coke, or I have cherry Coke, and then sometimes cherry Coke with Diet Dr. Pepper with cherry. I have a whole routine. And the guy asks me, do you have a kidney problem? Like, anyway, I have my zesty crackers and my, anyway, all right. That's it. Shkoyach, brachim to you, banim zechoyim. I mean, so, is it 12? Oh, it's 12 o'clock already.